Acts chapter 6. Are you ready? Do you need a moment? Acts chapter 6, seven minor or small verses coming at you. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. We do that. We don't overlook people, but we do have a daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parnabas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism, and they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Lord, you have a plan in store for each one of us here today, Lord. And Lord, some of us are in that plan, striving and running and sweating and moving ahead, overcoming obstacles and challenges, Lord, and striving, Lord, to follow you and your plan for our lives. And some of us, Lord, are barely able to tread water. Lord, you give us the power, Lord, to overcome the challenges of our lives that can sometimes just drag us down, Lord, and bring confusion and despair, Lord. And some of us are here today, and we're just confused. We have no clue who you are or what you represent. Lord, I pray a message for each one of these today. Lord, that you would meet us here, Lord. That you would be the lifter of our head, and that we'd meet you here. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. Kingdom power. Do you want kingdom power in your life?
Yes.
Do you want kingdom power in your life?
Yes.
Well, there was a couple folks looking for a few things yesterday. We went fishing yesterday. We showed slideshows. Oh, we gave fish to Simi, and she cooked it up and brought it to the end of the prayer meeting last night. So we had pizza and fish. It was very cool, and it was the man trip. And I took Joe, my son, his friend Joshua, JJ, and Jacoy, and Jason was going to go, but we couldn't make the hook up there. And so we had all the J's going, and me and Mike. And I don't know that Jacoy had been before. Is this his first time out? His second time. Well. I spent a little bit of time with Jacoy because you just don't jump into this because you can create all kinds of problems. And I mean, how to hold the pole, how to let it down. If you got to put your thumb on stuff or the line and the spool, just get out of control. Just have a rat's nest. And so it's just not something to just walk into without a little bit of training. But what was cool about Jacoy is he was, I'm thinking I'm remembering this stuff, and I'm getting this, and, he got his handle on it, man. And there he is, and he was just, he was the man. Well, I guess he was the boy yesterday, and he could hold that rod, and we taught him how to fish. But what we couldn't teach him how to do is how to catch. Because that is something that you have to develop on your own. Now, we are in a series called The Next Step. And this is a series about what happens after Pentecost. Because there are a lot of people who are striving. I asked how many of you wanted kingdom power today. And you said, "Oh, I want kingdom power. I want kingdom power." Like it is an end in itself. No, it is a beginning to something more. And you get kingdom power released in your life, it is to be a catapult for new things to happen, for better things to happen in your life. And some people say, "Oh, I got kingdom power. I'm ready to just kind of retire." That is not what this series is about. We're talking about the next step, what happens in the life of the believer. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon 120 believers in the upper room. And they were endued with power from on high. And Peter preached his first sermon. And 3,000 people got saved. Now, I dare say there's less than 3,000 people in this room today. And I've been, can I get a witness on that, please? And I've been preaching in this place for nigh on 11 years. We could use some kingdom power. Can I get a witness on that? We could use a little anointing around this place. And not just up here, but out there as well. It was the first day of the church. 3,000 added to their number. And that was the beginning. It wasn't like Peter said, oh, we got 3,000 saved. Time to stop. No. God has plans for you. God has plans for this church to have impact in this community through you, that he would use you in a mighty way, that there would be transformations around you. Our lives are filled with opportunities to see the power of God released. Can I get a witness on that? Many of you last week said, yeah, I am being swarmed under by my life. I can use the power of God this week to overcome some of these challenges. Do you remember last week? Many of you came upside and said, I want you to pray for me. I want to find that victory. My question is, how did you do? And some of you right now are smiling, going, yeah, this week was radically different than any other week in my life. I experienced the power of God. It is a brand new thing, and I cannot wait for the challenges that are coming at me next week, because I know God is walking with me, and I'm going to get through. Amen? Amen? Some of you are thinking, oh, yeah, I forgot. And you got whooped on this week just like you always get whooped on. And they're going, oh, I missed. That's okay. Those same challenges will be hitting you in the teeth next week. And you will have the opportunity to embrace the power of God and say, okay, Lord, I'm tired of getting beat down by the world. Avail your power to me, and I will be your witness. I will testify for you. I will give you glory. You can find out how to use the power of God this next week. Some of you are already rolling in it. You are able to find victory in your life. This is the third message in our series, Kingdom Power. It is for those, listen to me here, Kingdom Power is for those who are finding victory in their personal lives, who are overcoming the challenges that beset them. You have a degree of victory in your life, and you are aware of the power of God, and you are experiencing the power of God in your life. And because of that, are you following me? Because of that, you're seeing the commotion of your life diminish. You're seeing the drama of your life diminish. Why? Because God is there. You know what I'm talking about? This is what I talked about last week. Some of you are thinking, no, my drama is as high as it's ever been. And God wants you to learn how to have victory in your life. This message today is for you who have grabbed onto a little bit of that victory and you're thinking, Lord, I could do a little bit more. Does that make sense? You're thinking, Lord, I got a little bit of capacity in my life. Why? Because you got the power of God giving you that capacity. Before, previous to this, that capacity in your life was just overwhelmed by personal drama. I need this. I need that. I made this poor choice. I did this. I did that. And all you do is spend your time chasing your tail all week, week in, week out, week after week after week, just trying to maintain your head above water. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about. And some of you are going, oh, yeah, I am noticing a little bit of calmness in my life, and I could do a little bit extra. You're seeing that in your life, and other people are seeing that in your life. As we read about this, read in the Word today, we have a need for soldiers in the kingdom of God. We have a need for those people that can rally and come to the forefront and begin to take on the enemy where he is attacking your neighbors, your family, this church, your home, all these places. That we can link arms and say, okay, Lord, I see the attack that's coming. I need kingdom power manifested for your kingdom. Use me as your soldier, Lord. I can take on some extra. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It's kind of a complex topic. See, and you're sitting here today and you're saying, Lord, that is me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. We're talking about taking kingdom power and using it for kingdom advancement. Kingdom power for kingdom advancement, that you would become a tool in the hand of God. See, yesterday, we were focused on more than fishing. You had to fish, but we were focused on catching. All kinds of people can show up and fish and walk home with nothing in their bag. All God's power can be manifest in your life just to keep your head above water. And He wants your head to be above water. He does not want you to drown. He does not want you to fail. But He wants you to become accustomed to living in His power so that He can use you for His victory, not just your victory. Amen? Teaching Jacoy how to fish, we had to see whether or not he could catch. Amen? Are you tracking with me? All right. Take a look at kingdom power. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, I did some research on this, and I know that blank is up there, and don't freak out. I'll fill it in just a moment. The word for disciples in Greek is mathetes, okay? In my ignorance, I thought the word for disciples was discipulos, but that's Spanish, am I right? And I just, you know, I'd kind of jump ship or whatever, man, and I just thought, and discipulos from disciple is what's called a transliteration. Disciple and disciples. It's just take the letters and line them up, and you just kind of turn them into your language. And I had always thought that disciple was just a transliteration of discipulos. Not true. And I'm going, why are you talking about Greek? Because the word mathetes can be translated as a learner, a pupil, or a student. And I went, bam! See, because these guys were living lives as students. They were learning. They had a new focus. Now, we can take a look back at their student life, because student life is different. Oops, went the wrong way. Their student life, what did they do all day? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What did that mean? They went to the temple, And they lined up around the apostles, and the apostles would say, this is what Jesus said, and this is what it means. And we have those teachings, many of them codified for us in the New Testament. And these new disciples, these new converts, the 3,000 that were added on the day of Pentecost, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They had new behaviors because they were disciples, because they were students. We can read on. Verse 46 of chapter 2 says, every day, it was a day in and day out thing. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were disciples. They were mathetes. They were students. And because they were students, they were different. Now, I got two college degrees. And when I went to college, the first time I got an engineering degree, and I went back to get a Bible degree. And it was like, okay, I know how to do this. I get the list of assignments. I get when I got to show up. I be a student. You got to have class time. You got to have study time. You got to find out when you're going to do lab. You're going to find out when you're going to do all these things, right? And then you start doing them. Why? Because you want to get a good grade. When you go to be a student, you act differently than when you just live in your life. Right? You got homework to do. You got, I mean, my kids, man, they, you know what is weird? My kids carry around like 60-pound backpacks. I mean, I remember I went to school, I had like one book. You know, and I'd like have a locker, and I would have all this stuff, you know. When I was in college, I had a 60-pound backpack, but not when I was in junior high. I don't know what's going on these days. But anyway, when you're a student, your life is different. And when you become a disciple, your life necessarily needs to change. Why? Because when you're a student, you're accommodating somebody else's plan, and you want to study and get a good grade. You are entering into somebody else's program. And so as we enter into the discipleship of the Lord, we enter into His program. And we no longer operate the way we naturally do. We change things and operate the way He wants us to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Point number two, change looks different. Now, I hope nobody's getting blown away by that. Change looks different. I know it's not that much of a mind-blowing concept. It's rather obvious, okay? But I'll tell you what. If you are trying to change your life and nothing is different, you're not making much of a change. Can I get a witness, please? Yes. You're going to follow God? You can't stay where you're at. Verse 2 says, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that is the 12 apostles, gathered all the disciples together. That's the 3,000 plus more that were being added. And I don't know that, you know, they had a roster and said, oh, no, 2,999 showed up. We can't do any business today. No, I said all the church come and they gathered day by day. So one of the days that they were at Solomon's Colonnade and everybody was there, maybe, you know, Aunt Rosa was gone, but, you know, realistically, all of them were there. They said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. They said, we're going to shift this up. They said, we're going to make a change. They're why? Why are they going to make a change? Because there was an issue with the distribution of food. People were getting mad. You know when people get mad?
Whoa, little attitude over there.
The apostles had to deal with this challenge, man, because people are talking, hey, we're getting ripped off. And it's just our widows. They had Greek speaking, Hebraic speaking. It's like having Spanish speaking and English speaking. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Oh, the English speaking widows are getting ripped off. What's up with that? It's not fair. You're discriminating. Nobody wants to get discriminated against, right? It's like, man, oh, that's just wrong. So I said, oh, we got a challenge here. We have a problem here. So often we want our challenges to go away, but we don't want to change anything. You got challenges for a reason, folks. Oftentimes, you got challenges because you need to change something. And you got to stand up. I was going to say, get off your chair, get off your seat, and make some changes. But it's like, oh, I don't think I will. The apostles see this challenge as an opportunity to make a change. And as they do this, they recognize the need for service. It's like, man, we're running ourselves ragged around here doing this food thing. We need to find people that will do the service thing. And they say, we're going to focus on teaching the word, but we got to get this whole other group of people that are involved in serving the needy, that are involved in serving the body of Christ. And the word that they used here for wait on tables is diakonos. where we get our word deacon. And what they do, because they make this change, is they set up this whole area of ministry and they say, this is important. This is important. Why? Because lacking the ministry of the deacons creates challenges for us. And so because we're going to overcome these challenges, we're going to establish the ministry of deacons. Everybody here knows Ramiro?
Yes. Amen.
Esperanza, put your hand up. Her husband. He's not here today. Why is he not here today? He's just slacking off. No. He's actually at a Bible conference up in L.A. Why is he at a Bible conference? Because he feels the call of God in his life, and he has been attending Bible classes down in National City on Tuesday nights. That's why I wasn't able to go to the last Padres game. But he's going to get to go because this is on a Monday night. So he's up there being trained. He feels called by God. He's spending his time. He's changed his Tuesdays. He's not here today. He's got to accommodate his work schedule. He's got to make all kinds of changes. And what happens? We recognize the change in Ramiro. Now, we have a need around here. Yuseli has been talking about it. I was like, man, I need some help in coordinating the teachers for the kids. It's more than I can handle. And so recognize the need, not that Yuseli was complaining. No, she wasn't complaining. We said, hey, what's up? She told us what was up. So we recognize the talent and the call in Ramiro's life. And Ramiro is going to become our new Christian Ed director. Amen. So you can put a hug on him Monday night if you come to the game, or tomorrow if you come to the food distribution. Why? Because we could see that he's called and gifted. And we match the call and the giftings with the need, and we make a change. Change looks different. Amen? All right, point number two. Change is made possible because of maturity. This change is made possible because of Ramiro's maturity. Okay? Promotion is based on performance. Acts 6:3, first half of the verse says, brothers, we would say brothers and sisters, folks, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Well, who do you know that is full of the Holy Spirit? And right now, some people are popping into your mind. Maybe like 1, 2, 3, and you get to that third one, you go, whoa, they're not full of the Holy Spirit. How can you tell? You can tell by the choices they make. Day in, day out, a display of consistency and a display of maturity. Who do you know who is filled with the Holy Spirit? You can look at their lives and you can tell. Are you tracking with me? Pick somebody who is full of wisdom. And right off the bat, click, 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 2, 3, 4, 5 people clicking in your mind, and you get to 5 and you go, whoa, they're not wise. How do you know? It is based on their daily decisions. A daily display of consistency and maturity, or the absence of it. How can you tell? It's plain as the nose on your face. Now, just because you have one doesn't mean you have the other one. Amen? I mean, there's some people coming here filled with the Holy Ghost, say, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't want to be walking down University Avenue at night. That would not be wise. Can I get a witness on that? Bible says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I mean, sometimes you got to just, or actually, if you want to excel in life, you got to take that Holy Ghost direction and accompany it with wisdom. Amen? That's why they said, choose men from among you who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. So which do you have? I hope you at least got one. If you were going to rank your spiritual fullness and your wisdom fullness, which would rank higher? Now, maybe you got a one for a spirit and a one for wisdom. Well, at least it's not a zero. And you can grow. You say, Pastor, how can I grow in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Well, line up on God. He'll line up on you. How can I grow in wisdom? Well, get in the book. Get around God's people. And start asking some folks and say, man, how come I keep on making this bonehead move over and over and over and over again? And there's some people around here that have made that bonehead move and have learned how to not make it anymore. And you can learn from them. Amen? He says, you choose. You choose men that have the Holy Spirit and men that have wisdom. If you want to excel in the kingdom of God, you need to have both. Amen? Overcoming obstacles is important. He said, we will turn over this responsibility to them. This was a big deal. This was a big deal. It was a daily distribution of food. We do distribution of food on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I'm here almost every time. Why? Because I don't want anybody fighting. And sometimes that happens when I'm not here. Can I get a witness? Yes. It's important to the church. It was important to God. God says, hey, I want you taking care of one another. I want you to understand. I want you to make provision for the poor. We got a lot of those folks around here. I are one of them. To make this change happen, you have to find people that are responsible. You have to find people that are responsible. We got a lot of important things around here. God talks about responsible people. Paul writes to Timothy, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach. See, we need to find people around here. The church needs to find people that are reliable. They said, hey, we got the daily distribution of food. We need to find some reliable guys. We need to find some deacons that will run this. Now, how many of you have some bulletins today? Yeah? Who gave them to you? Eduardo? Who gave them to you? Eduardo. Well, Natty was back there. Mike was back there. Johnny was back there. And Eduardo was back there. Wasn't it nice having somebody smile and say, here you go. Yeah. And then they'll chase you around. They chase me around and want to give me a name tag. And I said, I'll get it. And I forgot to get it. They give you a name tag. Is that important? Is it important to have somebody guide you or welcome you with a smiling face and say, welcome to have you here. Now, some of you got them in Spanish. Is that important too? Yeah. It's important if you don't understand English very well, you can understand kind of what I'm talking about, where I'm going. Yeah, it's important. Worship team. Important that you can hear them. Nice to have a sound man back there, right? Who'll mix all that stuff so it's too loud or too quiet. Nice to have Gail. Gail was at the hospital last night with her mom in intensive care. Got like 1 hour's worth of sleep. It's a bummer not to have her here, but it's nice to have Larry be able to fill in and everybody else fill their spots, right? It's important. Nice to go in the bathroom and it's clean. Amen?
Amen.
All the women said, amen. The guy said, well, it's not so important. Yeah, deacon ministry. They said, yes, it's very important. The physical ministry to the body is very important. We talk about disciples. And we talk about being a disciple of Christ. And there is a focus on learning. But more than a focus on learning, more than just a focus on learning, there's a focus on doing and a focus on being. We talk about responsibilities. We're talking about doing. We're talking about being reliable. We're talking about somebody being able to count on you. Now, I brought some folks in here, I think on Thursday, and showed them, it might have been Wednesday, showed them the Bread of Life daily food distribution that we do. And how many of you guys were here when I brought the bread guys in? Yeah? I'll tell you what, they were blown away. They were blown away by the provision of God. They got they go to a church over on like Euclid and 48th or something like that. And they got all the bread over there. And I showed them, because I was trying to explain to the guy how it worked. And it just wasn't going in. You know, I've been talking to him for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And finally, I saw him over there, and I said, hey, come over and see what we do. He came last week, and he brought another deacon from their church over this week. And they're like, we have to have this. I said, man, it's a lot of work involved. And it is like a team, a coordinated effort. Sandra is there early setting up, and many of you ladies and men are there setting up. Johnny gets there early, opens up every day. Why? Because it's important. Amen? We don't want to have drama when there are people walking out whose needs are met and who are blessed. Amen. All right, last point. Change is made possible because of maturity, and you are equipped for impact. Do you have impact in your life today? Are you having impact? Are you able to handle more than just your life? I'm going to talk about a story that Jesus tells. Because everybody starts with something. Everybody in this room has something that can be used for the kingdom of God. You're sitting here and thinking, well, I don't have anything. No, that's not true, because the Bible tells you that you've got something, that everyone has received a gift from the Holy Spirit, at least one, for the common good, that you might bless those around you. Jesus tells a story about the kingdom of God. Not God's, I'm sorry, that's my typo. Kingdom of God. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Aaron kind of preached this when during his offering. He says, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one 1 talent. Each according to his ability. God knows what you can handle, folks. Amen? You want to get better? You can handle more. Say, Lord, I want more. Make me better. It's going to require change on your part. Living like a disciple, right? Learning and doing. Making change. You can't stay where you are and change. He said he went on a journey, and the man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more talents. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Everybody gets something. 3 guys are mentioned here. Nobody's left out in the cold. Everybody got something. The scripture I gave to you, 1 Corinthians 12. Each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have received a gift of God, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit living inside you that you can have impact on the lives around you. You have something. God is invested in you. Now, notice that these gifts are different. They're graduated. 5 and 2 and 1. And some would say, well, that's not fair. I think, let's see, there's 8. So God should have just gave 2 2/3 talents to each guy, because we don't want to be unfair. In fact, you're saying, you know what, I only got 1. I think I should have 5. I'm getting ripped off here. God, you're ripping me off. And I'll tell you what, you think God's ripping you off? You have a problem. Your focus is all wrong. The kingdom of God is not a place for debate. The kingdom of God is not a place for arguing. The kingdom of God is not a place for whining. Notice that this was the starting point. 5 and 2 and 1. The guy with 5 ended up with 10. The guy with 2 ended up with 4. And if you read on, if you know the story, the guy with 1 ended up with 0 and was given to the guy with 10, so he ended up with 11. It's a starting point. Don't worry about where you're starting. Worry about where you're going. Worry about building your capacity, because our Father in heaven owns the planet. And if you got just a little bit of stuff today, it's because that's all you can handle. and you want to get more stuff, say, Lord, make me better. I want to be able to handle more for you. God is looking for gain. God is looking for gain. Jesus continues. I'm skipping over some of the stuff. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. The guy comes back from the trip. Master, he said. Isn't that a nice term, master? See, some of us would think we got 5 talents, and talent was a chunk of money. And we got 5 more, and the guy came back to town, we would be heading the other way. Why? Because I got 10 talents, and I don't really need him anymore. I can go my own way. And there's some people that are sitting in the church today, and that's how you treat God. I'm just showing up, get my little bit, and I'll be back when I need some more. That's not how the guy with 5 act. He comes back and he says, Master, he says, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied, well, oh, I want to hear God say this one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you want to have God talk to you like that one day? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I mean, we can think of a talent. Holy smoly, that's enough to live for a year. I got 10 years living in my pocket. If I invest it right, he's going to invest, man. He just doubled it. I'll never need anything again. I won't need God anymore. He says, dude, you're just playing. I tell the story about the guy who's rich, and he dies. He's getting ready to die, so he has all of his wealth converted into a gold jacket that he's buried with, and he shows up and gets to heaven, and he's walking around, and the guys are looking at him going, check out the guy walking around in pavement. You know, streets are paved with gold, right? I mean, God says, you've been faithful with a few things, with little stuff. He says, I put you in charge of many things. I'll build your capacity so you can have impact. Come and share. Don't come and take. Come and share. Come and be near me. Come and hang out with me. Come and share in your master's happiness. God is looking for gain. See, we get all messed up when we start confusing ownership. We think that we own something, or that somebody else is going to take it from us. And right here with this guy with 5 talents, there's no doubt for ownership. What does he do with the 5 talents? What does he do with the extra 5? He brings them back to God. He says, here, God, here's your 10. What do we do next? Is there any distrust? No. Is he worried about God not taking care of him? No. God says, what shall we do next? See, when it comes right down to it, we're all working for God. Or you should be, because if you're working on your own, you're just cutting yourself out and working on a few things. See, the Lord is in the lending business. The Lord is in the equipping business. And the main thing you want to be doing is making sure that you're working for God. This story is about a man who is a good employee, a model employee. Are you a model employee for God? This story is also about one who is not a model employee. The guy who had 1 says, Lord, I know that you're a tough guy, and I just dug it, and here you go, here's your 1. And he says, man, you could have just put it in the bank and at least got some interest. I'm looking for a little something from you. And he says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone, this is so huge, folks, everyone who has will be given more. This is what the whole basis of kingdom power is about. If you can handle what you have, God has more for you. If you can handle your life, you can start developing and working in the kingdom of God and developing kingdom resources and utilizing kingdom resources for kingdom wealth that will last with you for eternity. Does that interest you this morning? He says, does that interest you this morning?
Yes.
He says, whoever does not have, or whoever has will be given more. He will have an abundance. You guys know what abundance is? Do you know what abundance is? We're just overwhelmed with stuff. Sometimes, like, we get so much milk, we cannot give it away when we're giving away the food, and it's just an abundance. God says, hook up with me, and I'll give you an abundance. And he says, whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think that's hardly fair. Well, God's not really about fairness. He's about justice. He's a just God. You serve him and you will share in his abundance. If you are just about serving yourself, everything you gain, Jesus says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Everybody in this room has an opportunity to serve God. Everyone in this room has an opportunity to use the gifts that he has given to overcome the challenges that you have in your life. And today you might be sitting here and be thinking, the challenges of my life are so huge and so giant, I don't see how I'll ever get over on them. Well, that's because you don't have a proper understanding of who God is and what he'll do in your life. Amen? Some of you have said, you know what, I came to the Lord, my life was overwhelming me, and now I've got some capacity in my life to serve him. Question is, what do you do with your opportunity? What do you do with the challenges? Do you see them as an opportunity to grow and to gain intimacy with the Lord and to understand how to wield his power? Or do you just quit? Do you just roll over and just hide? Do you, like this guy, take what you got and just bury it in a hole just so you won't lose it? God is about gain. God wants you to learn how to serve him. Yesterday, Jacoy had some challenges. He was fishing, and he got a little bit sick. Did he mention that? Oh, he didn't mention that he got sick. Oh, yeah. I got sick. In fact, well, he came over to the rail right near me, and he was not fishing. And there was about an hour. He wasn't doing much. And after a while, he said, came back out, and we're all fishing, and he says, where's my pole? I'm ready to fish. See, he didn't give up. See, and we can teach our kids to give up because we learn how to give up. We learn how to roll over. Say, well, how did that work out for Jacoy? Well, at the end of the day, he had a big old fish. Saying, yeah, I'm more than a fisherman, I'm a catcherman. See, the Lord would have us not just fish, but he would have us catch. He would have us not just learn, but he would have us do. And so my question for you today is, how are you doing? Because you have something to do in the kingdom of God. You have opportunities to overcome. The kingdom of God, all the positions are upwardly mobile. You're saying, Lord, I think I could handle a little bit more. Lord, I would like to have impact for you. The apostle said, choose 7 from among you, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. And many of you today are smiling inside right now thinking, God is using me in a mighty way. I do have impact. Some of you are looking back on this week and you are seeing impact that you had. Mike was teaching them kids how to fish. He had impact yesterday. Many of you have served and cleaned and prepared and had impact on people's lives. And inside, you're just kind of, you're smiling. And the Lord right now is saying, right, he's talking to you. Very good, my child. You have been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of more things. And some of you are going, oh, I could barely handle what I got. But you're smiling. You're saying, Lord, I trust you. I never thought I could be doing what I'm doing now, Lord. I trust you enough to risk what I have and take on a little bit more. I hope that's you today. Some of you are thinking, you know what? I stood last week and I wanted the power of God released in my life so I could overcome the challenges that are besetting me, and I failed this week. I did not make use of the challenges that were opportunities for me this week to excel in utilizing the power that God has given me and made available to me. And right now, I'm not smiling, Pastor. Right now, I'm feeling a little bit guilty. I don't want to be thrown outside where it's dark. I don't want to be somebody who just throws God's talents in a hole and covers them up so they don't decay. I don't want to be like that. Well, I got a great news for you. You don't have to be like that today. Because this week is going to come steamrolling at you. And the very challenges that you failed last week, you will be able to overcome because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And some of you today are here and you're just afraid that you're going to hell. You have no inclination or you have no idea how to use the power of God. You've never experienced the power of God. You're just getting beat down. And you're thinking, how do I get on this train? Because I'm afraid I'm just lost. I'm already out in the darkness and I need to find the light. Well, this is a great day for you because today you can enter into the light. Let's pray. At least you want to come up and play a little bit. You're here this morning. I mentioned three different groups of people. You're one of them. But you're that last one I mentioned. And today you are worried that you are just lost, that you have not ever ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you, to redeem you out of darkness and put you into light. And right now, the Holy Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder. Maybe your legs just feel like they're just energized. And right now, the Lord is saying he is talking to you. You are in danger of darkness. And you don't want to be in danger anymore. And nobody is looking around. But the Lord is tapping you on your shoulder and saying, you are in danger and there is no need to leave in danger. There's no reason to live next week in danger. I will save you. But you have to ask. And with nobody looking around right now, but the Lord is just speaking to your heart saying, you're in danger and you want to be in danger anymore. You want to just say, Lord, come and save me. Rescue me, Lord. I don't want to be like this anymore. And nobody's looking around, but that's your plea. Say, Lord, rescue me. I just want you to just slip your hand up and say, Lord, that is me this morning, right here. Somebody else will say, that's me here. Somebody else say, here and here and here. Somebody else, you say, be bold. Say, Lord, that is me. Just raise your hand up. Say, that's me. Hallelujah. Anybody in that room back there, say, hey, that's me. Lord Jesus. 6-8 people raised their hand this morning. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just come and meet those people here, Lord. They have reached out a hand from down here, Lord. I pray a hand from heaven coming down, Lord, reaching around them and saying, you are my child. I adopt you into my family. I just cleanse you anew, and I'm going to make opportunities for change for you, but I need you to embrace me as your father. I need you to become my disciple, to begin to learn about me. There's people around you right now, maybe the person that you came with, if not me, I'll put you in touch with somebody. They will teach you how to be a disciple of Christ and how to live that brand new life. Now, second group of people. I'm going to be quick here. You were here last week. Maybe you weren't here last week, but you got steamrolled this last week by the challenges of your life. You experienced no power of God. and you're thinking, Lord, I know you as my Savior. I've been not availing myself and grabbing onto your mechanisms for my victory, Lord. I pray, Lord, this next week, Lord, I want to be able to grab onto your hand in the midst of my challenge, Lord. I pray supernatural assistance, Lord. As it's getting close to me, you would say, my child, get ready. I'm right here with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And we are going to take on that challenge. Challenge of your life. We're not talking about the kingdom stuff. We're talking about the challenges of your life, that you are being overwhelmed. You're saying, Lord, help me get my head above water. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to get to a point, Lord, where you can use me. Nobody's looking around. You didn't raise your hand before because the Lord wasn't tapping you, but he's tapping you right now, and he's saying, I will show you how to have victory over the circumstances of your life. That's you. I just want you to just slip your hand up and say, that's me. Here and here, here and here, here. Wow, all over the place. Here. Hallelujah. Right there. Jesus, I just pray across this place, Lord. This next week, Lord, challenges are going to come. We know they're going to come, Lord. And I pray, Lord, a little warning bell, ding, 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 ding. And Lord, the rescue would happen, Lord. And these folks that raise their hands would learn how to wield your power in the natural realm and overcome their challenges. Last one. Now, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the other two as well, too, but this week was different for you. Maybe this last month or months have been different for you. You're saying, I understand the power of God, and I want to be a tool in his hand. I want to have kingdom power to be able to advance his kingdom, for him to utilize me in a greater way to have impact in the lives around me, that I would be a kingdom warrior. I got some extra, Lord. I got some extra for you. I trust you. I want you to use me in a mighty way. Nobody's looking around, and right now the Lord is saying, you've got extra in your life, and I want to put you to work. I'm looking for some gain in my investment in you. And you're saying, Lord, that is me. Use me in a new way. I want to respond to you. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is talking to you right now. I just want you to raise your hand up. See, two hands right here. Hallelujah. You're saying, that's me right here, over there. Yes, you got capacity in your life saying, use me back here. Praise the Lord. Anybody else say, that is me right here. Praise the Lord. Right here. Praise the Lord. Over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just sing that, what is this song?